chapter 3. And we'll start our reading again in verse 1. The last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the first three, four verses. And the title of this series is Christ Our Life. And last week, we looked at what flows from this life union that we have with Jesus Christ when we seek those things that are above and we set our affections on things that are above. Look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I believe that these verses, really the remainder of this chapter, gives us a really good map, if you will, as to how to enjoy victory in this union that we have with Jesus Christ. And I say that we need to be aware of this because we can be united to Christ with an inseparable bond. We can be eternally secure, one with Him, and enjoy that union. But I'll tell you, we're missing out on a lot of the joy and the victory of the Christian life by failing to put to death our old passions, our old lusts. Because we're united to Christ, because we're indwelt by the Spirit, because we have a new nature and we are called a new creature in Christ, that old self-life is to pass off the scene. You know, those old things, we need to get rid of them. We need to banish them from our lives. And this is a day-to-day battle. Paul talks about it in Romans 7. He talks about it in Colossians 3. He talks about it in Galatians 5. He talks about it in Ephesians 4. Over and over again, he is exhorting us, put off the rotten things. Get rid of those rotten things that you were born with and that you lived in during the time when you were lost, when that was all you knew. That was your entire frame of reference. You were in darkness. That's all you knew. But now that you're in light, now that you've been translated out of darkness into His marvelous light, now walk as children of light. And when you do that, you understand that you cannot live like you were lost. You can't live like lost people anymore. And I think that's what he's getting at here. That old self-life, we're to see to it that that passes off the scene and the new Christ life is to replace it. And I think this is so profound. All through Scripture, God doesn't just tell you what to get rid of in your life. He doesn't just dwell on the negative. Every single time there is an exhortation for you to crucify your flesh or put off the deeds of the old man. There is always a command, put off the old, put on the new. God wants us to replace those old passions and sins and the things that we once dwelled in. He wants us to replace that with this new life that we have in Jesus Christ. Put on the new man. And in this way, we're going to experience joy like we've never known before. Because our whole aim as believers, those that are in Christ, those that have set their affections on things above, that are seeking God and desiring to please Him, our whole desire is to be a vessel of honor. So that in these bodies, we can be used of God. And there is great joy in that. Look over it. Keep your place there, but look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse 20. Well, again, look at this. Verse 19 gives you the negative. All right? What you're not. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now that's very similar to the language he uses in Colossians 3. Put off the old. Depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. That means you're set apart, you're consecrated. Your life as a vessel for God is dedicated to His service, His glory, His honor. And that is the apex of the Christian life, to be used of God. He says, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. This is our desire. We want to be used of the Lord. But he's going to use vessels of honor, vessels that don't hang on to the old man and his ways. He says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, to me, that's where the real liberty is. That's what real Christian liberty is all about. It's not the freedom to do whatever we blessed well please, but the freedom for the first time in our lives, as children of God, washed in the blood, indwelt by the Spirit, and on our way to heaven, to be able to bring forth fruits of righteousness unto God. That is where the joy bells ring. That's where the liberty is found, when we surrender self and that the Spirit of God fills us and we walk in Him and live in Him and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back and look what he says here in Colossians chapter 3 about ways in which we have to deal with this. You don't hear these kind of things talked about much anymore. But if you're going to have joy and victory in the Christian life, you've got to learn to crucify your old man, your old passions, your old desires that you were born with, that you lived with. And folks, I'm telling you, until the day that you see the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory, you still got an old fleshly nature. Now, I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe it could be tonight. I'm looking for Him. And when that happens, flesh and blood's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. My old fleshly nature will be forever put away. But until that happens, you still own it. It's a part of you. It's like you're dragging around a dead corpse every day that wants to weigh you down. And so Paul is telling us how we got to deal with these things in our lives. And he uses a word that deals with death. Mortify. I'm sure I didn't look up the Greek word. Oh yeah, I did. It's nekru. And it means to put to death. Mortify your members that are in your old nature. Nekru, to put to death. As we put to death the deeds of the old man, the more of the abundant life we will partake in. Now, there are those that say, well, man, I'm justified from all things. It doesn't matter what I do. That is a lie. I mean, Paul himself in Romans 7, when he was talking about the grand struggle that he faced every day, and he cries out and says he's a wretched man, that he's carnal, that he's sold under sin. But what was the bright spot? He said, you know, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the mark of somebody that's regenerate. Somebody that is born of God, that has a new nature. They don't want to live in the old man. They are grieved and sorrowful about the way they once were and the tendency that they have to go back into that. And it could happen on a daily basis. You've got a fleshly nature that will never produce even one spiritual affection. It will never produce anything that is holy, righteous, good, honorable, peaceable. You're at war with the old man. And Paul says, don't cater to it. Don't play with it. Don't feed it. Kill it. Kill it. Put it to death. Mortify it. And look what happens when we reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. Keep a place in Colossians. Look over at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. In a very real way, and we looked at this last week, I think, or the week before. The old man died with Christ on the cross. Now what? Let's think about that. Every one of your sins come from your old nature. And every one of those sins that you will ever commit were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Positionally, you're justified from all things. You will never be held account for those sins by way of judgment, because Jesus Christ condemned sin in the flesh. He died in your stead. He put away all of your sins on the cross and in His resurrection. But consider for a moment what your sins did. They were partially responsible for the humiliation, the death, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. If you're saved and you have just a measure of humility, it ought to grieve you that your sins were instrumental in putting to death the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to die for my sins personally. So when you're saved, He's saying, reckon that you died with Christ, that your old man was put to death, that your sins were put away, so that you can appreciate what He did on that tree of cursing, removing the curse from you. And because you have a thankful heart, now you want to live unto God. You don't want sin to reign over you. You don't want it to have dominion over you. You want Christ to reign in you. I think that's what he's getting at here in Romans 6. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it be the king like it once was, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Wow, there's where the victory is. It's not in having your own way, it's having His way. And yielding yourself daily. He says, this is the way, walk ye in it. And every day, our life should be spent and saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How can I yield to your direction, your teaching, your instruction, your leadership? How can I yield? And look, he says there in verse 18, being then made free from sin, free from the condemnation of sin, free from the ultimate effects of sin, which is the second death. I'm at liberty. I'm free from that. Ye became the servants of righteousness. Again, get rid of the negative. Accentuate the positive. Be a servant of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Now let that sink in for a minute. When you and I were lost and undone, we were free from righteousness, meaning we had no ability to bring forth anything that was righteous. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's the victory, is bringing forth fruit unto holiness. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's how we give evidence. Now, go back, and the Lord inspires Paul to write this, and actually, he goes into great detail what you still got to deal with. As a believer, what you got to put to death, what you got to kill. And he says, he gives you a whole list of things. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. Illicit sexual relations by those that are single. Premarital sex. It is not, you got to put that to death. That desire will be there as a human being. But it's not right. It's not good. Uncleanness. That's impure actions and thoughts such as adultery, incest, sodomy, or other unnatural lusts of the old man. Put it to death. And definitely don't feed it by what you take in with your eyes, with what you take in with your ears, mortify fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Now, what is that? It's unnatural lusting after things that are unclean. Then he says, evil concupiscence. I'm going to tell you what that means. It means desiring things that are unlawful, things that you know aren't right. You know, I've heard people say, well, I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know how I can live the Christian life. I'm going to tell you something. You know plenty. And I believe that God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And I believe that the Lord will prompt you internally. And He'll show you things that are wrong, that'll line up with the Word of God. That you can't, things that you cannot entertain, that you can't feed, because they'll consume you. You'll lose your testimony if you allow these things to live in you. That's why he's saying, put them to death. He goes on. Now, a lot of that in verse 5 deals specifically with sexual uncleanness in thought, word, and deed. But he also gives us something that most people would never even give thought to. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It's probably the least preached on of the moral law. And it's probably the one, it is the one that catches everybody. What does it mean? Covetous, he likens it to idolatry because you're putting things before God, before the service of God. You're desiring more without having use for more. Lusting after another man's property, his goods, or his situation and circumstances. And it doesn't matter whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're ugly, or whether you're pretty. The fact of the matter is, people are constantly committing this sin. Coveting. And you know where it leads to? Discontentment. I mean, these are twin evils that go together. Now, the reason why these old sinful passions are to be put to death is because of the death and the judgment that issue from them. We once lived in such an environment, now we are to put them off and refrain from them because we have a new man created after the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. Now, what is a terrible shame? When somebody who says that they're saved, who has professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, yet they live like they're lost, like they're under the judgment of God. And that's exactly what he's saying here in verse 6. Hey man, if you've set your affections on things above, if you are risen with Christ and seeking those things where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, if Christ is your life, don't live like you once did. Don't live like lost people do. And he says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. It's a crime to not live in this new life like you've never been saved. Have you ever gotten convicted? I have. Of entertaining sinful thoughts, of saying wrong things. And I thought to myself, man, how could a saved man think that? Well, you still got an old nature. And if you don't learn to put those things to death, those desires, those affections, you know what? You are not living any better than those that are lost and in their sins. He said, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And then he goes on. Now, next week we're going to get on to the positive. The Holbrooks had to come for the whole negative tonight. You guys really must have needed this. You better chew on it. But look what he says here in verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. And, you know, a lot of times we focus on outward actions, on things that we do, places we go. Here he's really dealing with some inward attitudes that you better deal with. If you're going to, you can't be joyful if you're wrathful. You can't be happy if you've got anger in your heart all the time. If you're always vengeful. If you've got a hateful spirit. If you're negative and critical. You will never be joyful if those things are dominating your thought life and your internal way of living. He says, put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Put these things off like they're dead weights that slow you down, or that, like they're filthy garments that stink and are unattractive and abominable. You weren't going to come to church tonight wearing, after you swam in a swamp, come to church all stinky and rank tonight, would you? You know that ain't right. Well, you know what? A lot of people who say that they're saved, they carry these kind of things around with them all the time. And their testimony stinks. And they're not a vessel that's going to be used. I have been saved for 38 years. I have seen men and women that were far. As I looked at their lives, I thought, man, they are so far advanced than me. But I tell you what, I've seen people that I never would have thought fall into sins and become castaways. I'm not saying they lost their salvation. But when you're a castaway, it means that you're all on an island and you can't be used for anything. And that can happen if you don't put these things out of your life. Man, I'm getting old. I can't claim to be the boy preacher anymore. But you know one thing that I pray never happens to me? I don't want to be that miserable old preacher who's just a curmudgeon, who has no joy. I don't want to live that way. And I believe if you let these things get in your life, blasphemy, filthy communication, all those things, all speech that is unedifying and idle, useless, and wicked. And then he goes on. Don't lie to each other. Don't be guilty of deliberate deception and hypocrisy in an attempt to cover sin. It's a horrible thing when you lie. And God knows about it. But usually, it will come out. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's why you better be careful how you use this in my hand, your tongue. You know why? Because a lot of people gossip. They spread falsehoods and they're tale bearers. And I tell you what, it hurts people. And it usually, it comes out that you're the one that started this. Everybody loses when you don't use your tongue right. When you don't bring it under the influence of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So these are all deeds of the old man that issue in death. All contrary to the new life which has been implanted in you and infused by God. You have the Spirit of Christ living in you. Live like it. Now next week, we're going to get on to what the joy of putting on the new man. Getting rid of these old things, putting on the new man. All right. We want to go to God in prayer tonight. Certainly pray for